To investor only webinar of 3M India Limited. We have with us today senior management represented by Mr. Ramesh Ramadurai, Managing Director, Mr. Prasad Balakrishnan, Interim CFO, and Mr. Pratap Bhuvanagiri, Company Secretary. I shall quickly introduce Mr. Ramesh. He is a 30 plus year veteran with 3M. With a uniquely global business and cross-cultural leadership perspective. He has lived and worked in the US, the Philippines, and China for close to 15 years. During his assignment in China between 2014 and 2019, he had responsibility for 3M's industrial business across all of Asia Pacific. He currently serves as the Managing Director of 3M India. Prior to joining 3M, he worked at an offshore oil production platform and at a leading automotive parts and two-wheeler manufacturer in India. He holds a bachelor's degree in chemical engineering from IIT Kanpur and an MBA from IIM Calcutta. He is currently a member of CII Southern Region State Council. He previously served as chairman of the CII Karnataka State Council for 2021-22. He also served as a member of the Indian Advisory Council of US-India Business Council. I shall hand over to Mr. Ramesh now for his initial comments, and then we'll open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, Mr. Ramesh. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Goswami. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the very generous introduction as well. To all of you on the line, thank you for joining today's meeting. As Mr. Goswami already pointed out, I'm joined by our interim CFO Prasad Balakrishnan and our company secretary Pratap Bhuvanagiri. So before we begin, I'd like to just reinforce our safe harbor statement, which is standard. In today's call, there may be some predictive statements that reflect our current views about 3M India's future performance. But these are subject to risks and uncertainties. And as per company's policy, 3M India Limited does not provide forward guidance, and therefore I will not cover that. What I will do is, just as a structure for this interaction, I'll make a few opening remarks, maybe 5 to 7 minutes. I'll keep it relatively short. And then after which we can move directly to the Q&A. In my remarks, I'll cover two areas. One is operational performance and two is growth. First, I will talk about operational performance, and under that, I'll cover revenues first, and then we'll talk about margins. In this financial year 2024-25, through year-to-date quarter three, that is April through December, we delivered revenues of 3,247 crores with about a 5% growth. Quarter-wise, we had essentially zero growth in the first quarter, that is the April-May-June quarter. About 7% in the second quarter, and about 8% in the third quarter. So after a soft first quarter, we saw a steady uptick in Q2 and Q3. This uptick was driven by growth in healthcare, automotive OEM and aftermarket business, our infrastructure business and consumer businesses. The segment mix for us has remained relatively within the same range over the last couple of years. Year-to-date Q3, our segment mix across our four businesses is safety and industrial contributed about 32% of our sales. Our transportation and electronics business contributed about 37% of the mix. Our healthcare business about 19% and consumer 11%. If we go back to 2019-20, with that year as a base, we have delivered a compounded growth rate of just under 8% over the 5 years. I'll make a few comments about our margins. Our profit before tax margins were at about 16.6% year to date Q3, that is 24-25, versus 17.5% for the same period, YTD Q3 in the prior year. That is an erosion of approximately 90 basis points in PBT margins. On a year-to-date basis, the margin erosion was due to increased marketing and promotions expenses and staff costs. While material cost was about 20 basis points lower year-to-date Q3 versus prior year, I should point out that on a standalone Q3, material cost was actually about 200 basis points higher than prior quarter, standalone. This was due to higher commodity costs, adverse impact from foreign FX, and also some headwinds we are seeing in logistics costs. In terms of growth, the external macro environment remains somewhat volatile. GDP growth and IIP growth have been range-bound with some bias towards softness. Growth in automotive production is expected to be in the low single digits. I think year-to-date, December production was about up 2.7% approximately versus prior year, that is April to December. So it's expected to be in the low single digits. In this environment, we are focused on controlling what we can and investing in segments we believe will contribute to our growth. We are striving to do this with agility. We stay focused on commercial execution and innovation to propel our growth. Globally, 3M has identified 11 priority verticals which have a potential for higher growth and also opportunity for differentiation via innovation. I think six of those 11 verticals have aligned well for us in India, and they do have immediate and medium-term opportunities for us. I'll give you a few examples of where we are focused on to drive our growth. We continue to work closely with the automotive value chain to increase our relevance and penetration with tier supplier customers, the automotive OEMs, as well as the aftermarket. We are executing what I call quick localization programs to broaden our portfolio and also to improve service levels to our customers. We're expanding our coverage in consumer retail, and we are supporting our sales team and channel partners with improved pipeline management tools and data analytics. Our business and lab teams have held several hundred customer engagement programs at the customer innovation centers in Bangalore and Gurgaon, which have helped forge deeper partnerships with customers and also understand some of their requirements better. In our tapes and adhesives business, we are expanding our bonding solutions for advanced designs in different segments. So with all of these, we continue to remain positive on the growth opportunities, even though we will face some volatility quarter on quarter. In closing, I just want to reiterate what I've said earlier in the past as well, that 3M India benefits substantially by being part of the global 3M network and having access to various capabilities. The breadth of technologies, the breadth of product portfolio, and an engaged and committed team of 3Mers, they give us the recipe for resilience and growth. We are leveraging these to position ourselves for sustainable growth. With these, I'll conclude my opening remarks and I'll turn it over to the moderator to handle the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramesh sir. That was a very comprehensive initial comment. Now we will open the floor for question and answer session. Those participants who have questions, you can please raise your hand. Then we will unmute your line and you can go ahead with your questions. While asking questions, just indicate your full name followed by your company name as well. We will wait for the question queue to assemble. We have first question from Mr. Anshuman Atri. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So my question is regarding if I compare, say, the way China had a stupendous growth over, say, 15 to 20 year period. They became 10% of overall contribution for 3M. And we are start of a cycle and different manufacturing setups across India in terms of, say, electronics, healthcare, devices, and a lot of other segments, which EVs, which consume, say, a large part of 3M's products, which are produced globally. So do you see some kind of a similar growth trajectory in India coming if the manufacturing picks up in India and we see, say, a decade of maybe a 15% compounding on revenue sides?
Sure. Thank you for that question. I think you've highlighted both, the China growth trajectory, which 3M experienced for a number of years, as well as the comparison with what might be possible here in India. You know, there are two segments which make a huge difference between the scale of operations in India versus China. One is automotive and the other is clearly electronics. I think the scale of manufacturing is roughly 5.5 to 6x in China compared to India in terms of the units produced. And also electronics, as you know, it doesn't need repetition from my part to say that they have a very, very strong supply chain and serving a significant part of the production in electronics. Now, clearly, the opportunities for us remain very robust in these areas. Automotive is something we are already engaged in very closely with our customers here in India, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, both with the tier supplier, all three parts of the chain, the tier suppliers, the OEMs, and also the aftermarket. And they continue to be a very important growth avenue for us. Despite the market growing at low single digits, like I mentioned, we've been successful in growing significantly faster than that, primarily due to working closely with customers to design in products, which may go in new models as they launch. And then once the content is built into the vehicle, then it becomes a function of how many units of those models are produced. In the case of electronics, we are at very early stages of manufacturing in India in terms of localization of the value chain, especially for smartphones I'm talking about, and then subsequently for other parts of the consumer electronics. We are at the early stages, but we continue to be in very close contact with the brand owners as well as the ODMs and the manufacturing other manufacturers and the converters who constitute the value chain for electronics. So it's difficult for me to predict exactly when the uptick or the dramatic growth will happen. It's a function of localization and the pace of localization of the entire vertical value chain. But we stay very closely connected with our customers, and we think we can react very quickly as it grows. And when it does grow and when it happens, I think it will be a step change, but it's kind of hard to predict the exact timing at this time. Thank you.
Sure. So another question is regarding localization. So what percentage do we import from, say, our other sister concerns across Asia or other regions? And how do you see the increase in localization content impacting the margin profile at the company?
Sure. So 3M has a very broad product portfolio, as you know. And therefore, given the breadth of product portfolio, in many cases, we do take a global source of supply planning approach to take advantages of economies of scale, the domestic market opportunities, being close to customers, etc. So there are many considerations that go into it to build this global supply plan that we have and the location of factories around the world, etc. So what we have been doing is steadily increasing the local value addition content in our sales portfolio over the last 7-8 years. So if you really look at the total value of our sales, which has had some domestic value addition and local manufacturing, it has increased it is roughly at about 60 to 61% right now, 61%. And it has been in that increasing about 100 to 125 basis points over the last year on year, over the last, I would say, 7 years or so. I mean, every year might not have been an exact 100 to 125. There might have been some jumps in a couple of years. So now we are at a stage where we have invested in some of the automotive portfolios, which has a very high local content right now. And then we are preparing to understand how best to manufacture for some of the electronics customers as they ramp up their production. And in addition to that, like I mentioned in my opening remarks, we do a lot of local converting here, which is like kind of quick localization, as I call it, because we may not manufacture here from ground up with all the raw materials, but it allows us some local value addition to be more for a number of things. One is service, two is costs, and three is ability to meet some modifications that customers may require to meet specific requirements in India. So that's how it's been progressing for us. And localization is also one of the areas by which we try to, you know, one of the levers that we use to mitigate our exposure to FX. And definitely, therefore, we continue to keep doing that.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Anshuman. Next, we have a question from Mr. Deepesh Agarwal. Kind request to unmute your line and please go ahead with your question. Just state your company name before you go ahead with the question. Thanks.
Hi, I'm audible.
Yes, Deepesh, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Deepesh Agarwal here from UTI Mutual Fund. So my first question is, historically, you have mentioned that as we start making camera modules, display modules in the country, we will see a demand uptick for the adhesives and tapes for mobile. But it seems some of the players have started making display modules in the country, and they are actually using imports as a way to procure the tapes and adhesives. So how do you think the trajectory will go from here on? Would your localization incentivize them to start procuring from 3M, or would there be a government push out there?
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Deepesh, for the question. So it is really a function of how the customers will, manage their supply chains. And in some cases, you're right. In many cases, some of the early, what is going on right now would be import of several of these products in a kit form or combined with some of the other products they might be importing from other sources of supply. But over a period of time, which is exact, timing of that period of time is to be determined. We do expect there will be a push to have them locally manufactured source. When I say manufactured, I mean locally sourced in India. Not 100%. I mean, there will be a timetable that they will follow. There will be a bill of materials. There'll be a priority list in which, they might go with the localization plan. And at this point in time, like I said, we are in close contact with all of the key players, and we can react as required from them when they require us to step up. And so we are just in that mode right now. I know this has been the situation for a few quarters now, but I think it'll be at the pace at which some of this localization happens.
Sure. And sir, also in the past, you have highlighted that history, we see the forex volatility impacting the margins a lot. But as you said, that over time, 3M has done localization, which will help you to offset this forex impact. How strong do you think 3M is prepared given the current currency depreciation, which has started showing your margin dip?
Yeah, so we've always used several levers. Just one lever may not be enough to offset some of these headwinds that we face. It's been a combination of price. It's been a combination of new products with accretive margins. It's been a combination of localization to improve some margins in certain areas. So it's been a function of many things, and then it's also been the product mix management and portfolio management. And last but not least is, productivity and efficiencies. So, I mean, there are multiple things that we look at to try and manage. The volatility in the recent past has been quite extraordinary. And I think unlike maybe 3 years ago or so, where the pricing capability was probably higher because of market situation and market conditions, at this point in time, we also have to be judicious about price and volume mix. So we're being a little careful about how we are approaching pricing. And then that also, leaves us with the other levers, such as managing our mix management, new products, as well as localization. I mean, cost efficiencies and prudently managing our cost profiles in the factories is a very important part of our initiative. And we do that through a number of continuous improvement programs, as we call them. It's an ongoing effort which we drive in the factories.
Sure. Sir, lastly, if I can squeeze one more. So if we see your segments, ex of healthcare and consumer, the growth has been relatively weak over last 1.5 2 years. While the overall macros has not been that weak, it's only last 6 8 months we have seen the macros weakening for the relevant sectors. What has meant a slower than industry growth for us?
So a couple of areas. One, in the safety and industrial business, we have a portfolio which goes towards pipe coating, which is our corrosion protection products that we manufacture in our Ahmedabad factory. And that has had, that's had some cyclical swings in that, extended cyclical swings. And so we've had some significant erosion in that business. It's not a loss of business. It's just a erosion in terms of the business is not there. Customers are either delaying it or they currently don't have the order book to go with these products, number one. But in the case of transportation electronics, it's been mostly a question of some timing issues and base effects and year-on-year comparisons. So I think right now, as we speak now, coming into this quarter, automotive continues to do well for us, like I mentioned in the opening remarks as well. And we are confident getting into the new year again, the new fiscal year. Some of our infrastructure projects will also gain momentum.
Thank you,
Thank
and all
you.
the best.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dipesh. Next, we have a question from Mr. Hitesh Jhaveri. So please unmute your line and announce your company name and go ahead with the question. Thanks.
Yeah, hi, this is Hitesh Jhaveri from Axis MF. I hope you can hear me well.
Yes, I can.
Thanks for being on the call today. And I'm sorry, in case this question has already been asked, I just joined. My question is, would you, based on what you've heard so far, any views about what can happen in the new tariff scenarios? In case India were, for example, to reduce tariffs from the US manufactured items substantially in India, will it help you in any way for the India business?
It's we've been looking at scenarios, and every week we can come up with a different scenario. But it's hard to predict exactly what is going to happen. I think we'll have to wait and see how how that develops. To answer your question, I think we only have we do have some exposure where our customers export, but a high percentage of our business is domestically focused. When I say our business, I mean our customers' business, the customers whom we serve are domestically focused. There is, of course, some portions like in the automotive business, we do supply to tier suppliers. We do who both serve the domestic market as well as export markets. So, I mean, there are a few areas like that. We have certain businesses in our personal safety, et cetera, that goes into pharmaceutical customers who obviously will have some domestic as well as export profiles in their businesses. So I think so that's why we've been trying to do some analysis to see what might be the impact. But I think it's too fluid right now. But I think the thing is, we don't have a very large exposure to customers who are big exporters, at least usage of our products in their portfolios.
Sure. So what percentage of your revenue will be from the products that you'll be importing from US?
What we say is, like I mentioned, we have roughly of our total sales, approximately 60% of our sales have some local value addition content. Your question specifically is what percent of our sales might be sourced out of the US. I don't have that number off the top of my head, but we can get that for you.
So if you were to work with a number which is plus or minus, say, even 5%, plus or minus 10%, what might that be?
No, let me not hazard a guess, Hitesh, if you don't mind. We'll get back. Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, for a number of managements, a number of MNCs, US-based MNCs, and for that matter, even European, Japan, managements always talk about how India is a priority for them and they want to really grow. And if I were to take, for example, examples of ABB versus AB, India versus parents, Siemens versus Siemens parent, and so on, how important is India for 3M US?
India is a very important market of our, and it's based on the growth opportunities that we have here. It's based on the although it's not part of 3M India, we do have another global capability center that 3M has established here. Currently, I mean it's out of scope for 3M India, but I thought it would be good to mention that in any case, that we have approximately 400 and I think 30 or so people at this point in time in the last couple of years. And there is a plan to scale that up as well. So there is a talent, interest also in India, in addition to the market opportunities. So I think these are the things. And then recently in the investor conference that was held in the US by our global leadership, I think there was also a reference to potentially sourcing from countries such as India for global operations, which may be another lever they may look at. So I think, which is also in the public domain, what the comment that I just repeated. So I think, therefore, the importance is from multiple angles, not just not just any unidimensional. Ritesh, if you may, our interim our CFO is here, and so he was okay. I think we misunderstood your question on how much of the products come from US. So we will is this the one? So we'll get back to you on that, so we won't workshop it online, if you don't mind.
Not a problem. So
Yeah.
the so Mr. Ramdurai, in this context, the question is, for a giant and a extraordinary and fantastic company such as 3M, why is the India revenue just $500 million through this subsidiary?
Yeah. So I think there was I think in one of the earlier questions I had commented, I think there was a question about comparison of the size of India versus China. Okay, so China contributes about 10% or so to the global revenues, whereas we are at about 2-ish percent to the global revenues.
Sorry to have missed
So,
that.
sorry.
Sorry to have missed that. I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, that's all right. I'll just repeat it, but very briefly.
Sure.
When you compare our operations with China, at the the two biggest segments that make a huge difference is one is automotive and the other is electronics. So the scale of operations of the automotive business, the number of units produced, etc., is 5 to 6x in China versus India. And similarly, electronics is obviously a very large part of China's profile. For us, we are at the embryonic stage. So I think these also make a big difference in terms of our overall revenue mix.
Okay, so which is fine. So in my world, I'm not necessarily comparing 3M India with 3M China. Of course, that's one angle to look at. I'm also looking at the relevance that all of the 3M products will have for India, the platform that 3M has for India. So whether there's any brief, whether from 3M that what else can we do? Because it just seems remarkably underpenetrated, just to repeat myself, for a great and very large company as 3M, just to do $500 million in India, despite having decades and decades of presence.
Sure. I mean, the way we look at it is looking at the segments which are attractive for us to grow in India, and also we are increasingly looking at what portfolios may be unique and different for India, which may not be as applicable, let's say, in certain other markets of the world. So those are all initiatives very much in progress, and we can share more as they fructify.
All right. One last question, if I may, is that I mean, how long will it take for 3M to double itself in India? How many years you think?
I will I would only say that we continue to grow our business, at a rate which is higher than what are the markets that we serve. That is our goal, and we'll continue to go down that path. I would not want to go out there and provide a timeline in which we will achieve a certain number.
Sure. Sorry, and all this, the number of industries, more than a dozen, which has gotten some PLI money or and especially EMS. Do you have some play in this PLI recipient companies?
So we do business, like if you look at the major sectors, whether it's pharma or electronics or auto parts, we have opportunities there. So the PLIs have been operational in electronics, which is probably the one which is which could have the most tailwind for us once the manufacturing the localization starts for some, it comes down to the products that we supply. When that localization starts, it will provide us some tailwinds for our business as an additional growth opportunity.
Right. I'm happy to get back into queue, and then hopefully, if your CFO can provide the number of, what percentage of your revenue the products are imported from the US into India and give it to ISEC, I'm happy to take it from them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hitesh. Just a kind request to all the participants to raise your hand, and then we will unmute your line. Next, we have a question from Mr. Mahesh Bendre. Please introduce your name, your company name, and then go ahead with your question. Thanks. Mr. Mahesh, please unmute your line and go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I'm audible now.
Yes,
audible now.
Yeah, sir, thank you. This is Mahesh from LIC Mutual Fund. We are a shareholder of your company. Sir, in the beginning of your remark, you mentioned that from 2019 base, we have grown by 8% CAGR. I mean, looking at the company like 3M, which is such a strong brand, product profile, pedigree, we have grown below actually the nominal GDP of India. So if I look at for next 5 years, we think we will be able to grow faster, at least the nominal growth rate of Indian GDP.
Yeah, roughly about, it's a fair question, Mahesh. Thank you for the question. If you look at our mix of businesses that I talked about, our safety and industrial business and our transportation and electronics business, they make up roughly, I would say, 70 plus percent of our total portfolio. Healthcare is probably about 19, and 11 comes from our consumer business. So 70, 71% is from the industrial types of businesses. So those businesses tend to correlate a little better with the IIP or IPI, whichever way you call it. So I'm not, I'm, so we kind of benchmark those against more like IIP. But IIP is also a very macro number, and then you really want to correlate it with the segments that we serve. The healthcare business and the consumer business are more aligned with more like a GDP type of a construct. Where I think we've been growing, healthcare has grown quite well. I think like a previous question was asked about healthcare and consumer have had good growth. Whereas safety and industrial and transportation, the industrial types of businesses have had a little more volatility in the annual growth rates. So I think that's how we track it. And like I mentioned, even in my opening remarks, the objective is to raise the growth profile of the company from where we are right now. And we are doing that through a number of things. But very simply, the two big ones are on commercial execution, where we have several opportunities to grow, to your point about improving our penetration with the portfolio, either current portfolio or with some improvements to the portfolio, bringing in newer products, et cetera. And the other part is, of course, continue to have a strong emphasis on innovation and new product pipelines. And new product pipelines would include not only what is available to us from the global portfolios, but use the global technologies that are available and modify and create new products here to meet our customers. A good example of that, of course, being the acoustics portfolio that we supply to our automotive OEM customers.
So I'm not looking for any guidance as such, but at least will able to grow faster than GDP, or even what we have done in last 5 years in terms of growth, will able to grow faster than that? Any broad, I mean, qualitative aspect will help us, sir.
Yeah, I'll repeat, like I said before, our objective is to step up our growth rates from where we are currently. And that is what we are striving towards to do through multiple aspects. Like I talked about two, commercial execution and innovation and new products. And the third one is, of course, localization, which I've already commented on earlier. So net taken together, yes, we do wish, we do aspire to improve our growth rates from where we are.
Sure. So last question from my end. I think we haven't announced any major capex. I think previously a few, we had announced in capex and cancelled. So any plan of capex for next 2-3 years?
The capex that we have is essentially, we are not a very high capex intense company. Does not require a very intense capex high levels. So we have been continuing to make these small localizations with small investments, which have been pretty much in line with what we've been doing for the last 2-3 years. So beyond that, there is no big ticket capex there. Which, if it is there, of course, we would announce it.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mahesh. Just kind request, reminder to the participants to raise your hand to ask the questions. Next, we have a question from Mr. Kruti Parekh. Please unmute your line and go ahead with your question. Mr. Krushi, you can please unmute your line and go ahead with the question. As there is no response, we will go to next question from Mr. Suraj Malu. Please unmute your line and ask your question.
Yeah, hello. Hi, this is Udit from Catamaran. So just wanted to understand if you can talk about like what is the content that we get per mobile phone in produced in China, and why is that the companies are currently importing and not asking you to locally manufacture? Like, is procuring from China going to be much more cheaper versus if the product is manufactured in India and sold?
No, thank you for that question. No. It's not to do with whether our products are more competitive or less competitive than what we make in China. It's really that our customers have not started operating here. You know, we don't sell directly to the brand owner. We don't sell directly to the ODM. We are a further down in the tier, okay, for which our customers whom we bill to and ship to, they need to have their operations established here in India, which is, it's going on right now. They're not yet commercially in operation. So it's really for them, they have to be up and running. And really, that's when we also come into play. So that is really the issue. The issue is not whether we are more competitive here in India versus in China. That's not the reason. And the other one is on the value per device, etc. So I'm really afraid we don't get into that level of detail.
Got it. And let's say if the customer asks you to set up manufacturing here and start supplying, usually how long will it take to get the facility ready?
We have the ability to turn it on in a very, very short period of time, let's say as quickly as a couple of months, because we have 2 to 3 months, because we would really start with, given 3M's source of supply footprint around the world, we can import what we call in large formats, the same product in large formats, and do the final finishing here in India, for which I think there is always some... we always build in some excess capacity, and that's available as we speak right now. So it's really the question of you know, ability to bring some of those products in large formats, provide the level of service, because these customers require tremendous service. I mean, delivery commitments, delivery discipline. You have to be there practically multiple times a day to make those deliveries, etc. So I think that is where we are focused on. And then the product assortment, etc., would depend on you know, the models they're producing right now, and also what 3M content goes into that. So a lot of that information is available now. The question is, you know, when will they start those operations in India?
Got it. And similarly, on the auto side, if you can just help us understand, like you were mentioning, is it just the because of the volume difference that we see such a like revenue potential difference between India and China, or even the penetration in each car is very different?
The penetration profile in China and India are not dramatically different. We're somewhat similar, but of course the you know, you must keep in mind the small car segment is a much smaller piece in China. It's more the larger compared to India, it's the larger vehicles form the bigger bulk of China's production. And EVs is also an increasing part of their portfolio. So I think, but I would say that the volume, the scale of production is the biggest differentiator, the first biggest differentiator. A little bit of content difference will be there, yeah. But it's not as dramatic as the scale of production.
Thanks a lot. This is from my side.
Sure. You're welcome.
Thank you. We have next question from line of Mr. Bhavin Vitlani. Please unmute your line and go ahead with your question.
Yep. Good evening. Thank you so much for taking time out. So my question is on the safety and industrials piece. If you could qualitatively talk about the sub-segments that you report, where you don't have the data, but qualitatively, if you could report, like abrasives as a segment, a couple of your peer sets that are listed, talking about slowing growth because of the Chinese competition. That's one. The second piece is many of the companies, not necessarily your peer set, but are talking about issues in the imports, be it components or some of the products that they were importing, given the BIS related standards that the government is now getting really stringent to enforce indigenization. Along with the comments on the sub-segment levels, if you could also answer these two questions, please.
Sure. So the sub-segments are, you know, within the safety and industrial business, our largest piece of our business is the automotive aftermarket. So we put that under the safety and industrial business. And by the way, if you looked at, so I'll make a few more comments and then I'll come back to it. Then the tapes and adhesives, abrasives are electrical products, products that we supply for electrical utilities, it's at distribution, etc. They are part of the safety and industrial business. And the last one is, of course, the personal safety piece. Okay, so these are the broadly the product categories that go make up the safety and industrial business. Now, specifically in terms of, and each of these have a very, they're all aligned with very different market segments. And then because they are different market segments, also the external comparators for these, the index would be quite different. The automotive aftermarket could be dependent more on new car sales and how is the market growing through new car sales. Whereas tapes and adhesives, abrasives are more generally, you know, it's more like general manufacturing. How is the tendency for general manufacturing in the country, the growth rates. Electrical is quite different again, and personal safety is really, I think there's a lot more opportunity for us to, in the medium term, to drive our personal safety business in line with increasing awareness of safety requirements, regulations, and companies embracing some of those requirements more. You know, we're seeing that happening more. So I think, and then of course, there are safety regulations, etc., play an important role in that. Now, That is on the makeup of the business. The other part of your question was related to what was that again? Sorry.
The imports from China.
BIS. Yeah. So yes, the BIS qualification is it's an issue, but periodically we run into that. But at this point in time, based on the differentiated product portfolio and the specifications, there's been, let me put it this way, yes, it's something we are working through, but at the same time, it's not been a reason for any decline in growth or a showstopper or anything like that. There are certain portfolios we are seeing how best we can locally manufacture certain products, because I think importing those may become more complicated, more difficult. And already plans are underway to do that either in-house or through some contract manufacturing arrangements. So that is something to, you know, using 3M's formulations and specifications, etc. So I think that that's going on. So in the short term for us, yes, there are some disturbances or from time to time with import of certain products, because we import such a broad variety of products. We also have a team working on navigating and understanding the impact for us in different products, because it's just not the product by itself. Sometimes it could be it has a little raw material in that which may be not allowed, etc., or which may need a BIS approval. I think we are working through that. And like I said before, it's not, I would not attribute that to any slowdown in our business at this point in time.
Yep. So within the sub four segments that you spoke about, automotive, after electrical, adhesives and abrasives, could you talk about the competitive landscape that you have seen, let's say, over the past couple of years? And are we seeing any of your competition behaving irrationally?
Behaving, what did you say? Sorry, irrationally?
Yes.
No, not really. Now, I mean, nothing irrational about any of our competitors' behavior, no. I think, our automotive aftermarket has always been, our portfolio includes products that we sell into the vehicle repair and also into the car care segments. Okay. The car care segment has always been, there's always been an abundance of players, because it's a very fragmented market. There are a lot of players offering services. So, I mean, that's always been there. And I wouldn't say there's anything new that's coming up, which is irrational behavior on anybody's part. Tapes and adhesives, we've always had competition, both from global competition is also operates in India, either through their own companies here or through distribution arrangements. And we see those very much in play. Likewise, with abrasives, of course, we have strong local players in the abrasives area. And our portfolio in abrasives is relatively a differentiated niche segments. Those are the only ones we play in. And so we have a good value proposition in those areas. So yes, and in electrical, we do a lot of our products that we sell here, especially for the cable accessories. We manufacture it locally in our Ranjangaon factory in Pune.
Sure. Yeah, those are my questions. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next, we have a question from Mr. Ankur Sharma. Please unmute your line and go ahead with the question.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for your time, as always. First question was on the healthcare segment, and clearly, we've seen very strong growth over there in the last few quarters. So one, if you could help us, what's driving that growth, and more importantly, do you think that will sustain in the coming few years, quarters as well?
Sure. So the healthcare business, we have is basically, I would say, it's a very well oiled machine with a clear formula which is working for us, which includes a lot of work on education, training, helping hospitals and dental practitioners with quality standards, in quality standards in the, I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous here. I mean quality standards in the portfolios that we operate in. Okay, not please don't take it any more broadly than that. So I think we do this, and then of course the sales becomes a pull through. So I think this has been something which has been going on with a solid rhythm for the last, I would say, definitely we kind of rejigged some of this about 3 or 4 years ago. And we are seeing the benefits of that flow through. And we continue to, we know the formula that works, and we continue to invest in that and continue to do all of these engagement programs. So I do believe yes, we got into some, we did have some very, very solid growth rates. Will it moderate a little bit? It could, because your base effects also come into play. But we will have a strong growth momentum in our healthcare business.
Okay, fair. Second, on the consumer piece, and if I understand right, this is also the most localized. Well, growth rates are in mid-single, but really margins are good there, or at least used to be good. But then we've seen this fall in margins even here, last two quarters, despite it being the most localized relative to other segments. So is there, again, higher marketing spend? I'm just trying to understand, the sharp fall in margins, especially in the last quarter. What was driving that? Can we expect margins to kind of bounce back? How do you see that?
Yeah, I think the margin in the third quarter, which dropped to about 12-ish percent, I think, if I recall, I think that was just timing of some of our marketing and advertising spends. So I don't think that is a indicative of the margin profile of the business.
Yeah, understood. Thirdly, you did talk about automobile growth, as a segment being in, the low single digits, which is what we also understand. If you could also talk about, how do you see infra demand really, given, of course, 25 has seen the government capex and, as we get into next year, maybe grows, high single digits maybe. But what are you seeing? How do you see your infra portfolio kind of shaping up? What kind of growth rates are you looking at there?
Yeah, the automotive was low single digits in terms of production. Yeah, we've covered that. So infrastructure, a lot of our play is in two or three areas. One is roads, of course, for road safety. The second would be in rail. We see opportunities in rail, both metro rail as well as in the Vande Bharats, and just the upgradation of the rail infrastructure there, or expanding the rail infrastructure. And then airports is another area we see some opportunities for some of our commercial solutions portfolios. So all of these, I think there is enough breadth in the end markets that we remain quite confident that this will continue to have good growth. The issue is, of course, sometimes the funds flow, etc., may get delayed by a few months or something. So you do see some impact on the funding payment cycles and so on. So there may be some temporary slowdowns, but on the whole, I think it's kind of hard to predict what might happen in this business quarter on quarter, although we are required to do that. But sometimes we do have some surprises there as well. But having said that, the prognosis for, as far as we are concerned, for this business is very strong. We got the road safety portfolio, which includes not just national highways, but state highways. We have rural roads coming up, city roads upgradations coming up in different parts of the country. Then you have, like I talked about the rail, both metro and the other, plus the port, the airports, etc. So all in all, many avenues for growth there.
Okay, fair. And just one last one from my side would be on the overall company level margins. You've spoken in the past of margins being in the mid to high teens at an EBITDA level. So where do you see that? Do you kind of stick to that? You believe that is where, broadly the range would be going?
Yes,
forward?
Broadly that would be the range. And I think we are probably kind of at the lower end of that range right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I mentioned earlier in the call, we do have certain headwinds which cause this margin situation. But it will be our effort to play in the range and obviously make improvements. Yeah.
Perfect. Got that. Great, sir. Thank you so much, and appreciate you taking time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Anirudh, may I just jump in if can I, Anirudh, if you're okay with it, can I respond to that one open question about the, from earlier on, about the percentage of imports from US, etc.?
Sure, sir. Please go ahead.
I'm not sure if the gentleman who asked the question is on the line, but maybe you can check. But anyway, roughly a third of the what we import comes from the source from the United States. But I do want to say that that is, we do have US dollar denominated imports, probably 2x of that. Okay. While physically products that come from the United States may be roughly a third, which is what I think will also, the data will be there in our annual report. But US dollar denominated imports are higher, almost 2x. Yeah.
Sure, sir. That was helpful. So just we are almost at the end of the session, but just two questions from my side as well. One, we have seen 3M USA plans to sell its stake in Vent India. So means how should we think about the India operations? Because if 3M is selling stake in one business, how should we think about that? Secondly, should we see more flow of products coming through 3M India now? Will that be a fair assumption to make? That is one question. Question number two is on the healthcare portfolio. So what is the portfolio divide? How is the portfolio getting divided between 3M versus Solventum now?
Sure.
Anyway, almost all the products which had, almost all the products which were there in 3M USA healthcare portfolio are coming to 3M India, or in a way, how it is getting divided between the two entities? Yeah, that's the question.
Sure, I'll take both of those questions. I'll go with your Vent question first. I just have to say that, look, 3M India is not a party at all to that transaction, number one. And number two, 3M had a stake in Vent through the acquisition that 3M made of Winterthur some years ago. And that's a decision 3M has made. So it does not have any impact on 3M India's operations, nor does it reflect anything in 3M's interest in 3M India. Okay. So that's all I can say on that, because we are not really related to that transaction. That is number one. Number two is your question on the healthcare portfolio. The healthcare has three parts to it. Is the biggest portions of our business are in the hospital segment. We call the medical and surgical business, which is the hospital segment. And we have the dental portfolio, and we have a small portion in the filtration area. Today we represent, let me put it this way, we represent Solventum's portfolio. Practically everything that we were selling, not practically, everything that we were selling before the spinoff. Okay. There are certain parts of the portfolio that we were not at all participating in India prior to the sale. So those, I think Solventum will try to build that business independently. But at this point in time, I think I do not know where it stands. They had a portion of the MedSurg business, which was called wound care and wound management, which was handled anyway by a separate entity independent of 3M India, which was through one of the global acquisitions. And that was a very small part of the business, but nonetheless, that was handled separately, and Solventum continues to handle that independently. But I can say that we continue to sell almost, like I would say, practically 100% of the portfolio that we were selling prior to the spin.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Last question from my side. So how should we think about royalty now? Because some of the brands which we sell are not belonging to 3M, and in a way that belongs to the healthcare entity, which is separately there in USA now. Also, there are some fees we pay as corporate management fees too. So in totality, how should we think about the total payment that goes to the parent stroke group companies?
Sure. So the royalty fee that we pay to 3M remains unchanged. Okay. It is at 3.25% of the value of net sales of only the manufactured products. Okay. And like I said, roughly 60%, we have some manufacturing content. So we're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.9 to 2% would be the royalty that we pay on total sales of the company. Okay. And that I only give you a range because some based on the product mix, et cetera, it may change a little bit. And there is no change in that. And that remains where it is. And the corporate management fee that we pay is really for a number of other support that we get, whether it's IT infrastructure, whether it's all the various systems that we use, you know, engineering talent that we use for, you know, coming up with our own, supporting our local investments, manufacturing, upgrade to our factories. So while we do have local talent on the ground here, we also leverage the global resources quite extensively. In addition to that, a lot of the customer access to global customers, access to specifications, access to you know, new product that may get specified in these customers. So we get access to all of those. So there are a number of benefits we get through this being a part of the overall 3M global operations and the global network. So there is a fee that we pay towards that, and 1 minute, it's running at what, 3.2%, 3.4%?
4%.
No, corporate management fee for 3M India. About
3%
is a corporate management fee. So between 3 and then 1.9%, so we're talking about 4.9 to 5%. It may go up and down a little bit, but that is the range in which we are.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Rushad Kapadia for the closing comment. Rushad, over to you.
Thank you, Anirudh. Thank you very much, Ramesh sir, for your patiently answering all the queries and giving your comments on 3M India. I would also like to thank Mr. Prasad Balakrishnan and Mr. Pratap Bhavnagri. Thank you very much to the entire management, and thank you to the investors for making this an interactive session. We would now end the session. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you very much for to everyone who participated, and for thank you for this opportunity for us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.